Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
All right, they let us back in after yesterday. We were allowed back in. Although, I guess yesterday was good?
I don't know. I got home. My wife said, how are you? I said, terrible.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, she got really, because I normally.
Apart from my wife asking me how I felt the same way. I
normally do not give that answer. Hmm. You know, it sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's just kind of, you know, whatever. Like I'm talking to the grocery clerk. Sorry. I mean, I love my wife, but it's just like,
We all do.
This is just perfunctory. How are you? Fine. What else is happening? Terrible. Her head snapped around to look at me like, oh no. I'm like, no, it's just Sabres.
It's just the Sabres.
Just Sabres. I yelled a lot. I gestured. I did things. I did the things that happen when we're talking about the Sabres for almost 4 hours straight. And I don't know. Yeah, I think it was good. The last two times we've talked about them, what is pleasantly surprising to me is that there are people out there that still want to be heard saying things about them.
I know what you mean. I think every fan wants to say it, wants to be heard, but it's just like, it's different. You know, it's just different.
Mm-hmm.
They've just lost so much ground. They've lost so much time with their fans. And, you know, yesterday we're banging on Kevin Adams all the time, which I'm sure in yours too, in my case, I felt was fair. But we have to win something. And he said that in the past, and it's no less true now. And he can't do that in June. You know, there's nothing in June that the Sabres have tried most things. They've never been able to get the big coach or the big GM. They just don't really try for that. They have tried at coach, I think, but never maybe came that close to pulling it off. Like, they're just not taken seriously in that way. But, you know, they have drafted well. I mean, that's one of the dilemmas about the Sabres is that Eichel wasn't a bust, Reinhart wasn't a bust, you know, Dahlin is great. They've got these, they didn't miss one of those. But they still can't get there. Mm-hmm. So it's always been kind of a puzzle. One thing I liked about yesterday was not to Kevin Adams. I mean, Kevin Adams is a middle manager. The Kevin Adams thing is more about, like, why was he hired and why is he still there than who he is, you know? Like, he wasn't really qualified for it. He hasn't been successful at all by any measure. He hasn't been successful at all at it. It's been 5 years. Why are we still here? Mm-hmm. That's just, like, itself, I think, embarrassing to the Sabres. They must not think so. But I think of it more in terms of Terry Pegula and why would you – how – not why. How – those are not the same word, by the way, out there. How would you ever get to this point with as much power and wealth as he has? And if he did really – does really care about this like he, I think, you know, told us he did and I believed it. I think everybody did. I think that was a very believable – sentiment that he came across with when he arrived. Just how would you ever let it rot to this degree? And it's not like you can just win if you want to win, but the investment in it is just not there. I mean, there's no disputing that. Financially and, you know, whatever other ways there might be, like, it's just not there. There's no disputing that. It's obvious and real. And I just don't, I said yesterday, like, I've thought this for a long time and probably said it. I don't know. I don't think I would like to think I would never get to that point.
Right.
If I were an owner, which I'll never be. I think I'd be a good owner. I thought about this a lot today.
Oh, yeah?
Because yesterday happened and people were talking to me about yesterday. I'm like, I don't know. You should know I don't feel great about it either, but thank you. And like I did say yesterday, like if you owned the team, would you ever really let it get to a point where people didn't believe you cared?
Right.
And no is my answer to that. You know, I would never let it get to that point. But it's at that point for him and for them.
I think.
And that would be something that whatever I had to do to change that, you know, do a press conference, make certain moves, whatever I would have to do to change that, I want to do.
When you brought, I don't know, we may have talked about this more than one time yesterday, but I know late in the show you made this sort of point about him. And, you know, how he's perceived from out here and just what, you know, you said almost the same thing just now. And
I'm just hoping for it to be clipped again.
Right. what I think I said, maybe he's just really embarrassed. And I've thought about that today. And I, you know, not to, I haven't reached any kind of real conclusion about it, but I just know, you know, in your own life, in my own life, you know, there can be things, you know, they have nothing to do with owning a sports team, but that you know you should do, you know you should engage in, you know you have to repair something about a relationship or, I mean, I don't know, it could be even something around your house, but it's more interpersonal is what I'm thinking, and you just don't know how to start. You just don't know how to have the first part of the conversation. You're so worried about how you're going to come off to the person you're trying to bridge with. You're worried about the impact your first words may have on them. Like whatever it is, you just, and in this case, he's dealing with, you know, a massively important community asset that people are passionate about. And it's gotten to the point where it is repetitive and embarrassing, and how do you take the steps to get to a place where you can be perceived as trying to fix it? I don't know. I mean, you can employ 10 people, one person, 100 people to advise you on how to do that, I suppose, and follow their advice and at least do something. Like you have, you can find your way to assistance on this that no one ever has to know about, but we just can't. So it only holds so much water that he could be embarrassed about it. That's what I'm that's my conclusion, is like that should not be a reason to just sit by and watch it just continue to spiral, which is really all it's been doing since he hired Adams. I mean, once it became apparent, you know, 2-3 years, however many years you want to give him, and you know, tough spot when you walk in the door and are faced with, you know, he didn't decide he wanted to trade Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart. You know, those decisions were made, I think, largely by the players. The medical thing, I think, was largely just a facade for Eichel wanting out of here. I mean, and the Sabres, I played ball with it. You know, they agreed to disagree on treatment, and that forced the appearance of this wedge, and like, okay, well, we have no choice. Either way, Adams didn't, you know, orchestrate any of that. He walked into that. Okay, good luck.
But what that was already was, like, why would Eichel have wanted to leave?
Right.
Why did he want to leave? Did you think he, when he arrived, that he thought he was not long for Buffalo and didn't really think it was worth his best effort? I don't. I don't know how. I never spent time with him to know. But, like, that he probably thought, let's go get it.
Right.
And
you're going to sign me to an 8-year, $80 million contract, and you're going to do the same with my buddy over here, Sam, and we're going to do this, and you're going to fill it all out, and we're going to be great.
But he didn't. I think in time, he maybe became even convinced that it wasn't worth his best effort.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm getting jumbled up on the time. All I'm saying is, like, Adams, 2 years, 3 years, he started behind because of what he inherited and had to make, you know, he's tagged with making those trades, and whoever was the GM of the Sabres was going to make those trades. It could have been the most experienced guy on earth, and it could have been somebody who had no business in the job. Like, that's a pretty wide chasm there, but either way, the end result was going to be the same. And it's not like he got destroyed in those trades either, really. Tuck's an important player. Levi's a good prospect. The number one pick turned into Kulik, who might be this team's number one center next year at the age of 21, which is objectively hilarious, so I'm laughing. Anyways, at some point, way prior to now, you should have done something about it. This isn't working with him at the helm, but, you know, that has passed long ago, and we're going into year six, and whatever comfort the owner has with Adams has to be, I think, if you want to at least believe that Pegula isn't completely detached and would like to find a way to fix it, but just maybe doesn't know how, the comfortability with Adams has to be like at the top of the list. Why he is still here? Because his job performance has been as bad or worse than anybody else that preceded him and got fired in a way shorter time frame.
Yep. I think I'd be a good owner. I think I would know, like, how I would care about the perception. Is that something you can even know when you're not, like, a billionaire? Whether you would get in the, you know, get your hands dirty with fans, or, like, read whatever it would be, listen to us. Like, is that something you think you would do in that lifestyle, if you had that life? I don't know. I'd want to do some of that. I'd want to know. Maybe I would just have a staffer who would do this for me. Like, just what are
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
What are they really saying? Like, what is this fan base? You know, Ralph Krueger, sorry, I should have warned you before saying that name, but Ralph Krueger, I mean, wasn't it cool that he said how he went to bars and talked to fans? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a great move. I'm going to be the head coach of the Sabres. Nobody knows who I am, probably. I'm just going to go sit down and talk to people about it. Like, that's kind of how I'd want to be as an owner sometimes. Just I'd want to be in touch because I think it's important to be in touch. I said yesterday too, like, I think I know what I don't know. So I wouldn't be somebody that would boss hockey, quote, hockey people around on, quote, hockey decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I love my numbers, so I'd want to make sure that got respected. Mm-hmm. I think that is respected with the Sabres, by the way. I mean, they've had a staff of people that are well respected in that, you know, in that genre, so to speak, but it hasn't meant playoffs yet, obviously, so that hasn't really paid off. I'd be that way, but I think I'd know my limits, you know, like I feel like I would maybe have the right balance, but who knows? Like, well, it's a different world.
It is. The thing that's interesting about, like, positing the question, like, coming from that world, is it possible to, you know, stay in touch with, you know, the grassroots fan thing? That to me is more of a point that I would make if the kids were already in charge. Or something. Like, if Terry were 10 or 15 years older, and there was already, you know, we're seeing this. Laura Pegula is at the Board of Governors meetings, I think maybe right now, with Pete Guelli. She's been on the scene for now a couple of years. That came up yesterday during Adams and Fortin's media appearance. But, like, the kids are growing up, I think, detached from a reality that, you know, most people are living. Terry did not. I mean, he worked and you know,
built an empire, right?
Right. I mean, he struck oil and was savvy enough business wise to build an empire and become a billionaire. But, like, so can you forget on the way what that felt like? You know, maybe after, you know, once you graduate from NHL ownership and, you know, indoor lacrosse ownership to NFL ownership, maybe you're just like, I've left all that behind and I don't want to even think about how I used to feel about, you know, certain issues and different things because I'm now living over here, up here. But still, like, he came from, you know, a background that's pretty humble, I think, is the way I understand it. So I'm not sure I can really buy that he shouldn't be able to lean on that and recall that, like, how he felt sitting in his truck listening to this station to hockey games somewhere in Pennsylvania because he could get the signal on a bridge or whatever, however the story goes.
I mean, the guy called a Saturday morning show to talk about Joe Schmidt.
Right.
Let me just tell you that.
Right.
I might have been hosting it.
Yeah.
And I might have cut him off.
Yeah, well, the clock.
The clock.
I mean, the clock.
The clock is
that's our
the
life.
Clock.
The clock's our life. That rules us.
Rules all.
So I don't know. You know, I don't know where I really wanted to end up there, other than to just, you know, talk a little about him, you know, not necessarily being, you know, some silver spoon guy. I mean, I know he's living a life now that is certainly plush with that, but it's not like that's where he came from. So
it doesn't it seem though? I mean, it's interesting to think about the Bills too. And how well that has gone. And I think what it tells you, if one person owns the Bills and the Sabres, which is the case, what it tells you is how random it can be. And also, just like the Sabres themselves, what would it take? How much does it really take to sort of live in the middle in hockey? Which the Sabres are not. Like, they're below the middle. They're at the bottom. I mean, money-wise, people-wise, no offense to Lindy, and he's won a lot of games, but, like, nobody else was hiring Lindy Ruff, I think, last year, respectfully. Like, I think it shouldn't be that hard to live in the middle. The Sabres managed to do it for much of their existence without spending anywhere close to the most money and hiring the best, you know, the most qualified or the mm-hmm. biggest names. You know, signing the best players. Most of the Sabres history, it's not like they've won championships, of course, but they've not been this. Like, this is a new low where people just do not respect the level of effort or commitment that is being put into this organization, I think. And that's fans, and I think that's people all around hockey. I mean, the jokes are everywhere. Who hires a GM and gives him 5 years to make the playoffs one time and he doesn't and he keeps going? Like, nobody does that in sports.
No.
So I don't think it should be that hard. You don't have to be able to sign Brad Richards in his day or Mike Babcock to be able to sort of live sort of a medium life. What you do is, I think, if I can get away with saying it, is you hire the people that are just like the retreads crowd. And there's a lot of these guys that just get fired and they get rehired all the time. Coaches and GMs. It's always these same people, and the jokes are rampant there too. And they're right. They're righteous. But
they know enough about how to swim in the water to get you to, like you're saying, the middle.
Yeah, you just don't sacrifice a certain amount of credibility that the Sabres have sacrificed by not hiring the world's Ken Hollins, right? I forget the name of that Bruins guy. I'm forgetting the name
Peter
of that Bruins
Chiarelli.
Guy again. Peter
Chiarelli. The last time this came up and you couldn't think of it, I Googled and I found him. Yeah,
Todd McClellans of right. the world. Like, the Sabres are just not in play for those people, I think. I mean, could they be? Should they be? Yes, they probably should be. It does seem a little bit depressing to think like that's what they could be doing that would maybe make things better. But I think so. I think then it would be harder, if not downright impossible, to talk about like credibility in this way. If they're hiring people that have had these jobs before, which other than the exception of Ruff, who's like a special case because he was already here for so long.
Yeah.
He's like from the Legends bracket.
And now Kekalainen, but that's not even like the top spot in the organization.
But what is he?
Right.
I mean,
advisor,
did they win?
Assistant or whatever it is.
Did they win? Not even close. Is he actually going to decide things? Maybe not. He's not going to live here. I don't know. I mean, the money's there. He was able to get him to come over, not literally come over, but join for however many millions of dollars that cost. And does he even make decisions for the Sabres? Like, I don't know. I guess it's something. You're right. I guess it's something. I think I'd be a good owner, Bulldog. We'll never know. We will never know. I think I'd be good.
I don't know. We've been together long enough that I can remember you've talked about the owner and how your dad told you when you'd be frustrated when you were younger about Ralph Wilson, and your dad would tell you, Michael, he would call you Michael.
I can't wait to hear this.
Michael, he owns the team.
Yeah.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, I know. That's right. Right. He would say that.
And so, you know, all these other people are temporary. You say this a lot. This is I'm no longer speaking as your dad to you.
Thank you. Thank you for stopping.
it could have gotten weird. They're permanent. Like, the owner is permanent. Everybody else is renting. He's buying. Like, he's here, and the GMs, the coaches, the players are all transient. You know, 3, 4, 5, 10, 12 years. You know, max. Usually much more on the low end of the 3, 4, 5 part of that is, you know, the average player and even managers and coaches. So the owner should, you know, assert their, you know, vision and, you know, be heard on everything. And, you know, I think that can be problematic. I like the idea of like the owner having the best interests of his fans at heart, but I probably need you to hire the hockey people, and if you don't like how they're doing it, get some different ones and just kind of get out of the way.
The owner is just so much in ways you don't even think about a part of the equation. He or she. I mean, if it's like this, you can't win. Like, you just almost have no chance of winning. You're not going to spend. You're not going to get the best people in the organization. You're going to cut corners all the time. What can you expect? Like that. That's really depressing. And that's where, again, I don't think it's so much Kevin Adams as it is sort of like the existence of Adams. The whole, you know, hiring him in the first place and keeping him on all this time is kind of ridiculous. It's just so inferior. And so, like, how can you really expect to win? And there are, you know, some number of sports teams that are like that in the world, and I guess you can do with that what you want. I mean, you can ignore it and just try to trick yourself into thinking that you can actually be great, or you can, you know, walk away, whatever. But it's a lot of it, right? The owner, I've said this many times, and I think it's right and important that the owner is the closest to us, even though he's the farthest away from us financially. He's like you kind of just said, he's permanent. He's the one who is not going away. Coaches come and go. GMs come and go. Players. But the owner's there. The owner is the one you need to care like you do and to be, you know, in his own way, invested in that's money, that's different things, so that you can have a chance. Because without that, you're a team just in the wasteland, and the Sabres are in the wasteland. They're just not a serious team. They're just not, you know, players, coaches, management, everything. The building. Yesterday, it was just a random coincidence. Yesterday, CBS Sports Radio had a topic on the worst run sports franchises. And Maggie Gray tweeted about it. I just mentioned the Sabres, and then somebody brought the Pirates into it. And one guy tweeted me today, he's like, at least the Pirates have a stadium that people love. People love the ballpark. Yep. The Sabres have a dingy old building that's not interesting at all anymore.
That really has not been updated adequately.
You know, that's right. Oh, we have a new roof. Great. Don't care. I mean, I know from owning a house, so do you. Like, there's things you have to do, but
I'm sitting inside. I guess the only time I care about the roof is when it's not leaking.
You know, right? Right. Here come some commercials, by the way, so you should definitely take roofs seriously. 803-0550. Today, Sam Monson will join us, and we'll talk some football with Sam. It'd be weird if we just talked about the Sabres with him. Lines are open for your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Paying someone more money, hoping that they'll make them happy, isn't usually a recipe for success. You know, you have to have players that buy into and believe what you're doing and wake up every day in Buffalo excited to be a Sabre. I think that's important. In saying that, are there hard conversations with times or players at times frustrated with things? Absolutely. And that's part of the relationship building that I believe in from my job through the coaches, having those conversations. There's hard days too where players are frustrated or I'm frustrated. But that doesn't mean you just, because a player is upset at that day and you're just trading them.
Kevin Adams yesterday, we talked a lot about what he had to say. You can catch up on the Odyssey app, the rewind function, or WGR550.com. Paul Hamilton has an article about yesterday, and he told us yesterday he'd have another one today about the draft. I think it was, isn't that what he said? About the draft.
I believe so, yes.
Let's go. I love a draft. I'm in one tonight, and tomorrow night, and Saturday. You could come Saturday. You can't come tonight. It's going to be online. I'll be home. Tomorrow night, you could. People will be there that are not in the draft because it's a bar. But you won't want to be there to participate. Saturday, though, is the Scott Fish Bowl at Fatty at Wurlitzer.
Oh,
you could definitely go to that.
Okay, yeah.
And weigh in. My son will be there with me, putting the stickers on the board.
Weighing in, but I might like to just take it in.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah,
four drafts at once.
Good. All right, enjoy that. I'm sure I have weed whacking or some graduation party or something to go to. I don't know.
What an insult.
A wedding or something.
You could have a wedding. You could be playing golf, or as people now call it, golfing. You could be involved in something, but you can't be like, I got a weed whack. That's not going to cut it. Wow. No pun intended. That's not going to cut it.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to go to the bathroom. I can't come to your event. You gotta do better than that.
This raises money for charity, doesn't it?
It so does.
So yes. I don't mean to dog the event. I'm not coming. But
you're not dogging it, but you're not coming.
I'm not dogging it. I'm not
Fair.
Coming. I hope it goes very well.
Thank you.
I do have other commitments, honestly. Family stuff.
Cutting the grass. Trimming, even.
No.
Not even cutting the grass, trimming the grass.
I don't know where I'm going to find time to golf this weekend, actually. No, I've got the ride for Roswell on Saturday morning.
Oh,
and,
well, that's a good one.
And that, you know, we're the station, the company is involved in a way that we have not been prior. So with that, I feel like we're going to have a tent and stuff, and I'm going to want to hang around after the ride is over to, you know, just sort of be... Radio's the Bulldog hanging out at the WGR Odyssey tent.
Absolutely.
At the ride for Roswell. So, because I really, it is personal for me. I'm really proud that the company took the step to get involved like that and that Roswell would have us. So I want to, you know, I want to be there for anything and anyone.
We have turned this on its head.
Yes, I have.
Now I'm the bad guy because I'm not going to that. But at least my thing is charity. I can get away with that.
Right.
It's not just like a big gorilla draft.
I'm so looking forward to this ride, and I have not I have not ridden outside to this point in the season as much as I normally do. When the weather got good, my bike was getting worked on. And so I just had, plus golf, when it's nice out and I get up in the morning, it's like, go for a 30-mile bike ride or go play golf. And, you know, I've been leaning golf a little more than I'd like. Today, pouring rain. Like, all right, I'm going to keep going. Like, once you're wet, you're wet. I was already wet from sweating. Like, okay, it's raining. I'm going to keep going. Oh, it's pouring. Fine. It's going to keep going.
Look at you.
I was in the park, so it's, you know, not like I was dodging cars that with bad windshield wipers or anything. It was relatively safe, and it felt good. You should get caught in the rain once in a while.
I agree.
It is healthy.
I love getting caught in the rain. Isn't that from the Pina Colada song? Isn't that one of the lines?
Yeah, yeah. If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain.
Getting caught in the rain right there. It's gospel.
Yep.
You got to do it. Adam is with us. Hello, Adam.
Hey, guys. I heard you talking about, you know,
the pina colada song? Yeah, I know. It was great.
Yeah. No, that too.
That too.
I wish it was pina colada time in Saberland right now. Unfortunately, that's not the case. But I heard you guys talking about this yesterday. I almost called in. The most frustrating part of this whole situation for me as a fan and the way things have been, you know, since early on in his ownership of this team is that I just don't understand the why behind the decisions that are being made. And when you don't have context of the why, I can be spoken to or convinced maybe that something is a good idea or maybe there are reasons why things went the way that they did. But being left in the dark as a fan has been the most difficult thing to me for me about this whole situation. And I feel like, I mean, Terry, let's be honest, has not been good in the media any time he's had to speak. You know, he's been interesting at times. It was great to see him when he bought the team crying about, you know, Gilbert Perreault and, you know, his fandom. But I think the thing that this team is lacking, I won't say more than anything because they need to win on the ice, but he has to understand the way that you need to connect and message and communicate with fans. And, you know, maybe humor me a little bit because I run my own business and I hate to make this comparison to a multi-million dollar sports team, but when I make a mistake on the job, the most important thing for me is to get on the same level as my customer and say, look, I'm mad about this too. This is how this happened. It's not an excuse. I'm just giving you the reasons why it happened. Here's how I want to fix this. And when I finally do that, we kind of just get on the same page. We get on the same level and we move on and things get better. And maybe the reasons that Terry has been making some of the decisions that he's made has stemmed from, who knows, pressure from the NFL, having his cash position right for building the stadium. I don't know. And maybe because, you know, the hockey team had to be cash strapped or, you know, wound down tight for a while, he wants to give this guy who he's, you know, close with an opportunity to do it with more resources at his feet. And I understand that's a difficult thing to maybe communicate to a fan base, but they, as fans and people who are invested our time and energy into these sports teams, we don't own the team, but we take ownership of it. And so if you want to have a thriving community of fans and people who really care about this, you have to level with us and open up your books and get on the same page as us so we understand why any of this is happening. Because without it, not only is it frustrating to us, but you're severing this connection, this loving, you know, bond that we've all had with this franchise for as long as any of us have been fans, you know, growing up and watching him live. And to me, that's the most frustrating thing. They need to reinvest in what they're doing on the ice, but they have to change the way that they communicate with us, or things are not going to get better.
Yeah, that's really, I think that's accurate and really well put.
Well done, Adam. Yeah.
That's the dream. I mean, I can't tell you that I think most teams open the books, right, where the owner is like, if you will, an open book. Like that, I don't think that that's typical. But here, I mean, I think it would be especially good, not just because the team has been losing for so long and fans are in this dark place, but just because it's that kind of special bond, as the caller put it. So I'm all for it. And, you know, maybe he's just not capable of that. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't trust himself to be able to articulate himself in a way that he would feel like would go over right. But that's when you hire people who can do it, and he hasn't done that at all. Like I have to think that on no level is like spokesperson relevant to him when he's hiring his coaches and managers. Like, how many of them have been really good at expressing themselves? Adams is good at this. I think he is. But a lot of them have not been. And I don't know, like, even going back to Russ Brandon was somebody that, like, oh, no. Fans heard that and just, like, were offended by that. And how would he not know that that would happen? Maybe he did and didn't care. That's a long time ago now, but still.
Yeah. I like the call a lot. I do think that one thought I've had frequently this year, whenever fans were Sabres Twitter. Okay, make your jokes. I mean, it can be really, really, really nasty in there. But you know, why didn't they recognize the 50th anniversary team? Like, that's a reasonable question. 50th anniversary of the Cup final team, right? And a few different times I started responding because I know and like one of the guys that was sort of, you know, forwarding that conversation, like presenting that conversation. And a few different times I started to write, like, I just don't know how it would go over. Like, right now, in the here and now, it's so bad. And now what? Oh, you're trying to distract me by reminding me why I love you in the first place. And you're at a special kind of low where someone like me has to even suspect that people would be cynical about something like that. Because who doesn't love, like, remembering why you fell in love with anything, let alone a sports team? Like, oh, yeah, Danny Gare in 1975, you know, all that stuff, like, pulls at the heartstrings. I'm telling you, for me, even, who's a sucker for that kind of stuff, there's a part of me that would have resented it. Because it's so bad right now, in real time, that the only joy I can get is thinking about when I was 10. I mean, that's a bad place to be. So I'm using that as an example of how they can, you know, be challenged right now in getting almost anything right. Because as well-intentioned as something like that could have been, it still could be perceived as, this is all you can do for me now. All I've got is the past. You cannot please anyone in real time. And that's a terrible place to be.
Again, though, and maybe this, I'm probably biased because I'm in communications. Again, that can be easily massaged, right? Just, I own the team. Whoever owns the team, you just get out there. You're like, what, are you kidding? Of course we're going to honor this team. It's gone as far as any team in franchise history. It's legendary players. It's a lot of why I bought this team. Next question. How hard is that? It takes 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then nobody has there's no follow-up. Of course we're going to do this. It's easy.
Yeah.
It's just like, but they don't. And that's more conspicuous, I think. Well, we just passed 50 years since that. That finals was over in May. Those were the days.
Yes.
They knew what they were doing back then in hockey. Right. Wrap it up. If it goes past Memorial Day, you're just not paying attention. Looking at a box score from Game 4 of the 75 Finals. You watched you followed it.
Yes, you did.
I didn't, being 3. But
you should have tried harder.
I don't know, I guess. There were no penalties in the third period of Game 4. How did that happen? How was there a period in the Sabres-Flyers
finals
in 1975 where there were no penalties?
Yeah, why weren't there like 200 minutes in penalties?
Gilbert had 2 penalties in that game. How many games in his career did he have 2 penalties? Tripping and holding. I bet they were both bad calls. It must have been fixed.
Well, they wanted the bigger market to win.
Yes. The Sabres did win this game, 4-2.
Plus, they wanted a dynasty. So that was, right. Was Philly's second in a row.
How many games did Perreault have two penalties?
I bet it's not many. He did win the Lady Bing at one point in his career. I'm pretty sure that's in his trophy.
Oh,
case.
Yeah. Yeah. At least once.
That's the trophy, kids, for gentlemanly play in the NHL.
He won one Bing. You're right. One Calder and one Bing. 73 won the Lady Bing. Finished fifth in the Hart Trophy that year in the vote. That's as high as he got in the Hart. I don't know. He might have been slighted. Who was winning these Hart Trophies in those years where he was maybe the best player in the league?
LaFleur.
Jim Kelly, the late, great Jim Kelly, would say, 1975, Buffalo had claimed the best player in three sports. Football, hockey, basketball.
O.J., McAdoo, Gilbert.
Yeah. I'm not sure if Jim was the only person who thought that, but it seemed like a plausible argument that may have been true. All right. Thanks, Adam. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Sam Monson coming up at 4. This is WGR. Welcome back. Sam Monson today. He'll be with us in about 12 minutes. Check the mic. Longtime PFF analyst. In here today, since you're wondering, we're watching Pirates-Brewers. This is your first time ever watching the Pirates and the Brewers play?
Definitely not. I am not prepared to take any follow-up questions.
You think you've definitely seen this matchup before?
Sure, yeah.
Skeens and Milwaukee's version of Skeens, Jacob Mizorowski. Skeens had a tough second inning. Milwaukee put up four runs and hardly ever hit the ball hard. But they did it. It can happen.
Yes. Right.
And Mizorowski gave up nothing, and it's still 4-0 into the seventh. I'm not going to be the first person to make this observation, right? Skeens is like if Josh Allen could pitch.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like him.
Yeah, he's big like that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's Josh Allen as a pitcher.
Every time I see him on the mound, I just, you know, there are other big, built-up pitchers, but he just looks, yeah.
He's got the same beard as Allen.
He's just a big, he just looks like an athlete.
He looks like Allen.
Like whatever he was going to play, he probably would be good at. And you could maybe say the same thing about Allen.
Except maybe like hockey.
Right.
Or curling.
I'm not by saying this implying that I think Josh Allen could pitch as well as Paul Skeens. I'm just saying.
No, but I bet he could get people out.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. I think so. I think, you know, he's a quarterback too. I bet he could, he would intimidate you. And I don't know, did he ever play baseball? Do we know?
Alan? I mean, he's got a swing that tells you he has some baseball in his background. I think he, you know, but.
He wins the Micah Hyde Home Run Derby.
Right. I don't know what kind of pitching background he might have, but.
All right, 4-1 Milwaukee in the seventh. They're both from California.
Allen and Skeens?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, good call on, what's the kid's name again? The Reds guy you mentioned two different times on the show yesterday.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland, wherever you get your podcasts.
Chase Burns.
Chase Burns, thank you. I knew the first name. For some reason, don't have the second name committed to memory.
Everybody except Burrow, who's good in Cincinnati sports, is named Chase.
Okay, right. So you mentioned a couple different times, once I think with Sal, and another time, like this guy, major league debut, I didn't know at the time, second overall pick from last year's draft, and I turned it on. He's facing Aaron Judge with two outs in the first inning. I don't know how the first two outs came, because that's when I got home and turned it on.
Strikeouts.
Yeah. I found out after he struck out Judge, Michael Kay goes, struck out the side in this first inning. I'm like, okay. He struck out the first five guys he faced, seven or eight overall. He had seven at one point, and I don't remember if he got another one.
The sixth guy up whatever. Yes, he was good.
He was really, really good. And I would have never thought, I might have turned the Yankee game on anyway, but I had a special thought to do it because you mentioned this guy, and I got paid off. He was really fun to watch to start that game. They did touch him up a little bit, but Reds came back and won on extras last night.
That's right. They were down. They gave up a run in the top of the 10th. I'm liking the starting the runner at second base, I have to admit. I'm watching that game and knowing that each team is going to start the 10th with a runner on second, just, I think subconsciously, I know I'm not going to be here all night.
You can stay there a little more easily than go, oh, I don't got time for extras.
Did it go to 11? Maybe it went to 11, but still, like, it just helps. People hate it. I mean, you're supposed to hate it.
It might have. Maybe there was a scoreless 10th because however it happened, the Yankees scored one and then the Reds scored two.
I think it went to the 11th.
But he was just really fun to watch. Like, we're into that time of the year here, and Skeens, since he got to Pittsburgh, is on the list of, oh, he's pitching tonight? Okay, let me see if I can find the Pirates game. And it's cool to have guys, you know? Like, and this is a guy I would not have known about, and I hope somebody else in our audience besides me heard you mention that and thought, I got to check this guy out, and man, pretty good.
I mentioned on Twitter a few weeks ago watching that Marlins-Pirates game where the announcers were not in the stadium and how annoyed I was by that. And I got, including from Davis Maddock on ADP Chasing the next morning, like, why are you watching the Marlins and the Pirates? I'm like, oh, Yuri Perez. It was his return from Tommy John surgery. And Davis was like, that's fair. That's our line. Like, that's fair. That's good thing you had that to say, or else I would have continued to ridicule you for watching the Marlins and the Pirates. Sam Monson next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.